There is another din of Sfichim. The Talmud quotes a dispute between Rabbi Akiva and the other Tanoim regarding Tvua grain that grows by itself in Shnas HaShmita. The farmer didn't plant it, but there were seeds sitting around on the ground. There were vegetables that grew by themselves because the wind blew the seeds and they planted by themselves. A grain that grew by itself, no one violated anything. So Rabbi Akiva understands Pshat and the Pasuk in the Torah that you're not permitted to eat anything that grows from the ground by itself. How is that possible? It's a biblical prohibition to eat Sfichim, something that grew by itself, but it's a pasuk in the Torah that it's a mitzvah to eat perishvies. It says in the Chumash, V'hoysa Shabbos Oetz Lechem Li'ochla, it's a mitzvah to eat it. So Tosis explains that's on fruits that grow on a tree. But if you're talking about vegetables, you're talking about grains, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion that Sfichim, even vegetables or grains that grow by themselves, are also biblically prohibited. There is a minority opinion in the Rishonim who follows the view of Rabbi Akiva that Sfichim are prohibited min HaTorah. The generally accepted view is not like Rabbi Akiva. The overwhelming majority of the Rishonim are of the opinion that Sfichim, the vegetables or the grains that grew by themselves, are prohibited to be eaten mid the Rabbanon, because we don't trust the farmer. What do you mean? He tells me that he didn't plant it, that it grew by himself. I can't trust him. Maybe he's pulling the wool over my eyes. Maybe he's telling me a lie. Maybe he really violated the laws of Shemitah and is trying to cover up, and he's going to tell me that it grew by itself. So they made Gzeira Midrabbanan. That's the majority opinion, is like the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Akiva, that Sfichim are prohibited Midrabbanan because we don't trust the farmer. So this is going to pose a problem. If you have a Jewish farmer who plants using a Heter Mechira, so whatever grew during Shnas HaShmita, even if it would have grown on its own, you're not allowed to eat it, unless it's fruits that grow on a tree. But if it's vegetables or grain that grows from the ground, so then we should prohibit it because of the din of Sfichim. Whatever grows vegetables or grain, you're not allowed to eat. So the Rambam writes that this prohibition, that's the way it's accepted, that this prohibition of Sfichim, if vegetables or grain grew by itself, you're not allowed to eat it, that's only if the farm was owned by a Jew. If the farm was owned by a non-Jew, Bishal Nochrim, so then there's no prohibition of Sfichim. So over here, that's the whole Heter Mechira, that the farmers arranged that the Rabbanut should represent them as their shaliach, as their agent, to sell the farms to a non-Jew. So that whatever grows on their farm, it didn't grow by itself. They planted it. They're using the Heter Mechira to plant it. But we don't have this rabbinical prohibition of Sfichim, because officially that's the din, that Sfichim grew on a farm that was owned by a non-Jew. There's no prohibition of Sfichim that were never goyzim. Then we have a fourth din, in addition to Meshumer and Nevad and Sfichim, we have a fourth din, which is based on a pasuk in Chumash. Some say that this is a biblical din. Some say that this is an asmachta. The Rabbana Chumash raises the possibility maybe this whole din is an asmachta with the Rabbanan. There is a din of Shas HaBiur. The Chumash says that the perishvias that grow from the ground can be eaten by the person and by the animals. You shouldn't think that it has kedushas perishvias. The peris have kedusha. So only Jewish people are allowed to eat it. You shouldn't allow the animals to eat it. So the Chumash says no. That the perishvies may be eaten by the animals on the farm. So Rashi in his commentary on the Chumash quotes from the Mishnayos that the person who plucks off the perishvies is only allowed to eat them. If he wants to eat carrots, he can only eat carrots as long as there are some carrots left on the farm for the animals to eat. If he wants to eat potatoes, tomatoes, oranges, apples, pears, whatever fruit or vegetable or grain he wants to eat in his home, he's only allowed to eat it as long as you have some of those fruits or vegetables or grains still growing in the field. When there's no kol ha'lechai min ha'sadeh, when there's no longer any of this type of vegetable or fruit growing on the trees are on the ground and the animals that are roaming around don't have the ability to eat that fruit or vegetable any longer, then kalela behem tucham en abayis, then you're not allowed to eat that fruit or vegetable or grain, and you're not allowed to feed it to your animals at all. So this is either a biblical din or a rabbinical din. This is known as the Shas HaBiur. The Shas HaBiur is always in the eighth year. This year there isn't going to be any Shas HaBiur. The Shas HaBiur will only begin after next Rosh Hashanah. In the eighth year, And then every fruit or vegetable has its own Shas Habir. So in Eretz Yisrael, they have charts. They will be distributing charts. Everyone, all the Rabbanut, the chief rabbinate will be distributing, the Badats will be distributing. They're all going to have charts. When is the Shas Habir for any particular fruit or vegetable? So let's say if I buy a bottle of wine that was manufactured from grapes that grew during the Shnas HaShemitah, and those grapes had a Kedushas Peres Shviyas. So I have to finish drinking that wine before the Shas Habir. If I'm going to keep the wine after the Shas Habir for grapes, the wine comes from grapes. So I'm not permitted to drink the wine after the Shas Habir for the grapes. That's a din of beer. Exactly when the time comes that you're supposed to do beer, what does the din require? So there are different opinions. What does it mean exactly, beer? So it's generally assumed that one who has fruits or vegetables and he knows which is the date when the Shas HaBir is, in Eretz Yisrael they will announce. They'll be distributing charts. When is the Shas HaBir for potatoes? When is the Shas HaBir for tomatoes? When for oranges and when for grapes and so on. So if a person has fruits or vegetables or grain that grew in the Shnas HaShemitah, he should declare it as Hefker in the presence of three people. He should make a public declaration to the three people. That's a din midrabbanan, that whenever you make something hefker, you have to make it hefker in the presence of three people. So you should declare in front of his friends, Achena kol beis Yisrael, I'm hereby declaring all of this stuff that I have, the tomatoes, I'm declaring it as hefker. And he should leave it as hefker for a day, and then the day on which the Shas HaBir takes place. And then he can reclaim it the next day. If he's going to declare it as hefker in front of three people who are not his best friends, so they may decide to take it, he just declared it as hefker, it's open to the public. So that's why the practice is you declare it as hefker in front of three of your friends, and it's understood that the friends will do you a favor, they won't walk off with your fruits or vegetables that you just declared as hefker. And then you wait till a day or two later, and then you reclaim it and you take it back. So as long as you declared it as hefker before the Shas HaBir, then you take it back after the Shas HaBir, so that's okay. If I kept ownership of the fruits or vegetables that day when the Shas HaBir is, so then it's generally assumed that you're not allowed to eat the fruits or the vegetables later. It's also bachila. But if you made it hefker before that day and reclaim it after that day is over, then we assume that it's permissible to eat those fruits or vegetables. Again, whatever, there was a famous dispute in the 1500s between Rabbi Yosef Karo and Rabbi Moshe Mitrani, the Mabit, regarding fruits or vegetables or grain that grows on a farm of a non-Jew. Does that also have a din of Kedushas Peres Shviyas or not? So Rabbi Yosef Karo's opinion, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, was of the opinion that was the overwhelming majority view at that time. His view was based, there was also a question how to read a passage in the Toras Kohanim, in the Sifru on Parshas Bahar. So his opinion, that was the majority opinion, was that Kedushas Peres Shviyas, the sanctity that takes effect, that's chal, on whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year, only applies if it grew on a Jewish farm of a Jewish person. If it grows on the farm of a non-Jew, so the Peres will not have a Kedushas Peres Shviyas. And the Mabit, Rav Moshe Mitrani, was of the opinion not so, that even what grows on the farm of a non-Jew also has Kedushas Peres Shviyas. The general consensus at that time was, they voted, and they made a cherem, that no one is allowed to follow the Chumra position of the Mabit. Everyone in Eretz Yisrael has to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Karo, because the felt is going to cause a big machlek, is going to be a split in the communities. So they all adopted for several centuries, since the 1500s till recent years, it was assumed that there's a cherem, no one's allowed to follow the Mabit. We follow the view of Rabbi Yosef Karo. There is no Kedushas Peres Shviyas on whatever grows in the form of a non-Jew. The Chazon Ish felt that the Mabit was greater than Rabbi Yosef Karo, and he thought that his reading of the Toras Kohanim is more correct, and he felt that the cherem was made improperly in the 1500s, and his opinion was that we should observe Kedushas Peres Shviyas on peres that grow in the form of a non-Jew. So, in most of Eretz Yisrael, the common practice is like Rabbi Yosef Karo, that whatever grew on the farm of a non-Jew does not have Kedushas Peres Shviyas. And in Bnei Brak, in the area surrounding Bnei Brak, in recent years, since the 1950s, since the Chazon Ish publicized his opinion. So there they followed the view of the Chazon Ish, to follow them a bit, that there is Kedushas Perishvis Amakros on the farm of a non-Jew. So this is Halacha L'maaseh, this is one of the issues. This din that you have to eat the Perishvis before the Shas HaBiur. And if you owned it during the day of the Shas HaBiur, when there's no longer any tomatoes on the farm available for the animals, and no longer any grain growing, no longer any apples growing, whatever, when there's no longer any of this fruit or vegetable on the farm, then you're not allowed to eat what you have in the house, unless you were mafgrit before the Shas HaBiur and you zeichet back from the hefker after the day of the Shas HaBiur is over. So it's generally assumed that this is one of the many dinim that applies to the peris that grow during the Shemitah year that are endowed with Kedushas Perishvitz. If the peris grew on the farm of a non-Jew, all the farmers, the overwhelming majority of the farmers in Eretz Yisrael, rely on the Heta Mechira. They appoint the representative of the Rabbanut as a shliach to sell their farm to a non-Jew. So the peris grew on the farm of a non-Jew. So the generally accepted opinion is that there is no Kedushas Perishvis on these peris, and therefore there's no din of Shas HaBiur. The Chazon Ish was opposed to the Heta Mechira for various reasons. So the Chazon Ish was of the opinion that the sale doesn't take effect at all. Okay? So if one is concerned about the Chazon Ish, then even if you'll buy peris that grew on a farm that was sold by the Rabbanut, the shliach of the Rabbanut did sell a farm to a non-Jew, so according to the Chazon Ish's idea that ain shaliach l'dvar avera, then we should declare that the whole sale to the non-Jew never took effect. So then you'll be back again, you'll have the problem of svichim. We said earlier that svichim, the prohibition of svichim, doesn't apply if the field is owned by a non-Jew. So according to the Chazon Ish's suggestion, the whole sale never took effect. Or with respect to the din of Kedushas Perishvias, so even if you hold, like the Rabbi Yosef Kara, that there's no din of Kedushas Perishvias, the Chazon Ish held that Kedushas Perishvias even applies if the peris grew on a farm of a non-Jew. But even if you follow the generally accepted opinion, like Rabbi Yosef Kara, that there's no Kedushas Perishvias and peris that grew on a farm of a non-Jew, but the Chazon Ish claims that over here the whole sale wasn't valid because ain shaliach l'dvar avir. So some are so concerned about this, they'll feel that the farms that were sold to the Nochri in Eretz Yisrael by the Rabbanut, they're concerned maybe the Chazon Ish is right, maybe the whole sale never took effect, and you're not allowed to eat any of the fruits, you're not allowed to eat any of the vegetables or the grains because of Svichim, and it's called Svichim Mishal Yisrael, because the whole sale was not valid, and they'll be concerned about eating, they'll observe the laws of Kedushas Perishvias, even on those grains that grew on a field where they relied on Heta Mechira, because they're concerned the whole Mechira never took effect, and the farm still belongs to the Jews. So that's questionable. If I'm not mistaken, I think in recent years, because the Rabbanut was concerned about this argument that the Chazon Ish brought up, that ain shaliach l'dvar avera, so they changed it a little bit. So instead of the farmer appointing someone from the Rabbanut as a shliach, as an agent to sell a farm on their behalf, and then you fall into this dispute whether ein shaliach l'dvar avera means that the whole sale never took effect. So I think now they have the farmer sign a document that says, I am directly selling my farm to John Smith or whoever the Nochri is to whom they sell a farm. So the sale is not really done through a shaliach, not that the Rabbanut represents the farmer as a shliach, but they have the farmer sign a document. He directly is selling his farm to the non-Jew. So even if he's in violation of an avera of lo sechanim, but the sale will be valid. So the argument of the Chazon Ish would not apply.